This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fellas, good to be here.
We have a liftoff.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
Ah, it is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, Old Dirty Show and Psycho T, a.k.a. T. Mill, has the latest. And the latest for you, it is 5 o'clock fire and Lance McCullers. Big Lance.
He's coming.
The H. Back on the bump again against live batters in game scenarios. Lance McCullers threw an inning and two-thirds, 33 pitches in his outing in a minor league game today in Florida. The captain, Joe Espada, said it went well, and McCullers would make his next start over the weekend in AAA Sugarland. So, listen, I know you, as you yelled that out, Clint, he's coming. He is moving through this, right? We're starting spring training games, getting one inning in. We watched that and it looked pretty good. Touch 93 in that game. Now we're stretching him out even more. Like he seems to be now on track to what guys like Hunter Brown and Framber and Spencer Arrighetti and Ronel Blanco's pitching tonight, by the way. We'll get to that in a bit. But he seems to be on the track of what those guys were on to start spring training, and he is moving through this. They seem to be treating him like a pitcher just starting up here, and he is moving through this thing. Next time he gets out, wonder if it's this time was 33 pitches, which was a little more from the 12 he threw the first time out in a spring training game. Do they stretch more? It almost looks like, Clint, that he may be even positioning himself to be able to get on the field with the big league club if there's a spot for him earlier than maybe we even thought it could be if we're looking at it right now, the track that it seems like he's on.
Yeah, look, I mean, it looks like, assuming that he's coming out on the back end of this thing and there's no arm issues, there's no soreness, there's no tweaks, there's no nothing, hell yeah, he's trending in the right direction. And I just... was reading something there where Chandler Rome said he pitched on a 6-day schedule, which leads you to believe that there's obviously some kind of method to the madness here, and he'll throw again in the future in Sugarland, and we'll see if he can get to the bigs. I think it's just a matter of staying healthy at this point. He's there.
Yeah, and I'm not saying they're not worried about health. It seems like this is more along the build up, their arm strength. Like, not as much as, all right, man, we're taking, like I said, I am certain they are obviously taking his health into account here. This is a guy who's not pitched for multiple years, but it does seem like it's less, all right, is he okay, and more, let's get his arm strength up to where it needs to be to be a starter.
Yeah, I hadn't seen any details on that other than the inning and two-thirds and 33 pitches, so I'm anxious to see, you know, how it looked,
what the
pitch count, not the pitch count, but the how they divvied up the pitches. Was he throwing everything?
Did he give up four home runs in that 33 pitches?
Yeah, it is. I mean,
it feels huge.
5 outs and 33 pitches. That could get a little hairy. Let's see how that went.
I ain't gonna lie to you, dog. I didn't think we was gonna be getting an inning and two thirds, almost completing two innings. with 33 pitches in any kind of game on March 24th from Lance. I thought we'd have been into the season when it comes to this. By the way, the Astros, as they're getting closer and closer, they are here at Daikin Park, and they're going to face the Space Cowboys. We just talked about that's the next spot that Lance is going to pitch in over the weekend. But here's a lineup tonight, Clint, and it looks pretty close. There are some other spots here and there that I think obviously will look different. But Jose Altuve in left field leading off. Paredes at third base. Yordan is the DH. Diaz, the catcher, batting cleanup. Jeremy Pena behind him. Cam Smith is in right field tonight. Zach DiZenzo at first base. Brandon Rogers, a guy that's going to see action, is at second with Jake Myers in center, batting ninth, and Ronel Blanco getting the ball tonight. So outside of, obviously, at first base and second base, this looks like this might be close to the lineup we may be seeing most days for the Astros.
Yeah, and look, as an Astros fan, I'm looking forward to watching just because you've got a lot of unknown. I mean, look, the Isak Paredes, I mean, I know he's a proven player, and this isn't some kind of project or something. I get that. But I just haven't watched Isak Paredes night in, night out. So seeing him in that two-hole, seeing him in that lineup, in the top of this lineup, is going to be fun to kind of watch how it unfolds. Yiner Diaz and Jeremy Pena, we've talked multiple times about, like, if anybody on this team can take the next step and continue trending in the right direction, it's Jeremy Pena, Yiner Diaz, and Jake Myers to some degree, some more than others. But those three guys, I think you're looking out for that. And then you mentioned Cam Smith being in right field. I mean, this thing over the next couple of days is, yeah, can Cam Smith be a guy that legitimately is on the opening day roster? I think it's becoming more and more reality the more we see it.
And then it looks like, and obviously, you know, as you're looking at this lineup, maybe he'd be a little bit further down, but to potentially have him in this seventh spot in the lineup, like that if he continues to do anything like he was doing in spring training, yeah, that does seem like to strengthen that lineup. By the way, Isak Paredes, you are in the glory position right now. That's the position in the lineup with Altuve in front of you and Yordan behind you. Like, you're going to see pitches. You're probably going to have him on base in front of you. Like, that is the position to want to be in if you're not one of them top two guys in the lineup.
Go Astros.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, college basketball, as we know, the Sweet 16 is decided, but now we're starting to see some teams who have been eliminated, and not only are we seeing players roll to the transfer portal, we are starting to see new teams get new coaches, and the University of Texas is one of the latest schools, and they go get Xavier Sean Miller. He agrees to be Texas's next coach. By the way, Sean Miller's Xavier Musketeers, they're the team that knocked Texas out in the first four.
Well, so done.
Yeah, he went ahead, knocked them out, went ahead, executed Rodney Terry's job up out of there, and then got him paid. And Tyler, I know your feelings towards the University of Texas. I think this is a great hire for them.
Yeah.
Sean Miller, who was at Arizona first, and Sean Miller had kind of the same issues that Will Wade is having, who just got a job at NC State, same issues that Bruce Pearl had, who had to sit down for a little bit, and now at Tennessee, and now is got the number one overall seed in Auburn going, and now he's at Texas. And when he was at Arizona, he had Arizona rolling. They went to Final Fours. They did their thing, and he could be a great, great hire for Texas. They've got one of the best coaches in college basketball.
You know, you got to think so. These guys were great at NIL before NIL was legal.
Yes, and now they get to be.
And now they've been at it for a while. They've got a lot of experience. The guys you mentioned, Bruce Pearl, Will Wade, now Sean Miller. I mean, these guys were doing it via the shoe deal, I think, back in the day when they got popped the first time. But yeah, obviously great coaches, and now they can pay them, and now they can go to these smaller schools and you know, get these boosters to push up a lot more money than they typically would because of who the coach is, and then here they are right back on the scene in the Power Four in the Power Four department.
I would expect that they have this thing, and Chris Beard was probably going to do a really good job there before he got in trouble.
Yep, yep.
As we see, he's got Ole Miss in the Sweet 16 right now. But I think Sean Miller has a chance to get this program back to where it was when Rick Barnes was there. And they got to a Final Four in, I believe, 03. I know they did. And they were a team that got players like, you know, Kevin Durant, obviously, and DJ Augustine. And they were, I would say, at least right there with Kansas as maybe the second-best team in the Big 12. I'd imagine they potentially get back up to that level. Iowa hires Ben McCollum. He was at Drake, Clint, 1 year, 31-4, 1 year, bam, out of there. That dude, 2 years ago, was the head coach at Northwest Missouri State. Place I got caught with a fake ID.
You're getting caught with fake IDs, and he's up there climbing the coaching charts in 2 years.
And the way I got caught was so bad. So stupid.
What'd you do? Was it a white guy's ID?
No. It was me.
Tyler, you didn't like that, Tyler? You think it was
man.
It wasn't the white Ron Ugly?
Sir, this is not you.
This is not. They had one of them stops right there where they was, because I went to the school that was about 25, 30 miles ahead, and they got you right on that interstate, right where you're about to get on the highway leaving. They had a little party night. We went out there. They got you right out there. You got on the interstate, and they just stopping everybody, just making sure people ain't drunk. And the guy, I wasn't driving. I was in a passenger seat. Got pulled over. But he had the flashlight and said, "Can I see your ID?" I
said, "Oh, damn."
I had the fake directly behind my real
one. And he saw you when you
pulled it out and handed it to him. And he still had the lights in there on it. He just saw that other one. And it was,
"Hey, why don't you hand me that other ID?"
I had it in a full one, right? And you could just see it. And then he said, you want to hand me that second one, too?
Cheeks clenched pretty tough
And I thought I was going. They had a paddy wagon. They was putting people in them.
Damn. Right.
He just gave me a
ticket. Not you, huh?
He just gave me a ticket, took all them, took that ID from me.
What did Teresa say about it?
That got intercepted, baby.
Never got back to mama, huh?
Get to her, man. Oh, the way she know about that thing is she listening to this right now. that address got to my dorm address, baby. That's where that thing came to. But good for him. Got him a new gig out there.
Longhorn Nation, we're back!
5 o'clock fire.
God, I was so mad at myself for that thing. Boy, I mean, because I was a little drunk. And I never put it back. In fact, they're always hide it in the back. God, I can't believe I did that. All right, today, a big day in Miami as Cam Ward had his pro day. And obviously, you wouldn't be surprised, Clint and Tyler, that Cam Ward had a good day. Had a good day, threw some dimes. There's some tape and some things that people are showing. And he is expected to be the first overall pick in next month's draft. And I guess my thought to you is somebody who obviously watches quarterback play and watches quarterbacks in a much different light than we do. Do you get the sense for you, Clint, that Cam Ward is a legit top number one, top three, top five type of a pick, or is it maybe just this year? Do you put him up there in normal years with what he brings to the table as a guy that would be like a top five level quarterback?
Yeah, no. I think he's a top 10 pick in the NFL draft on any given year. I think he's. I mean, obviously, there's some. I think it'd have been difficult for him to jump Caleb Williams. I think he'd have been right there in the mix with Bryce and CJ. This when it comes to just fit, there's two things that he's got going for him in this new day and age. The physical ability to just throw the ball on platform, off platform, all the different arm slots, and to generate as much power as you possibly can, that is going to turn heads in today's scouting arena, and he's got all of that. And then number two, I think this one is more real than necessarily just being uber talented. Everywhere that kid's gone, he's left that university in a much better place than when he stepped on the field, when he stepped inside that program. And he's done it damn near immediately, right? He went to Incarnate Word, did big things there. Went to Washington State, did big things there. Went to Miami, did big things there. And now here he is. Like I legit think the talent and the resume of taking over, the ability to take over an organization. And when I say take over, I mean just the locker room. Going in there, adapting, leading, being that dude, that natural, genuine, sincere, authentic leader. I don't know the kid. I'm just going to assume that that's who he is given his track record. And when you have those two things are real. There's guys that can have better tape maybe and maybe have a better highlight reel. But when it comes to just sheer getting on the field and throwing the football, it's going to be hard to look better than him in sweats.
I just say that because, like, yeah. Most likely quarterbacks are going to go in the top five, and he'll most likely going to go one. But sometimes it is just the pure need for teams in that position. Yeah.
I think he's legit.
Aggressive. Like for me, I don't look at Jackson Dart and think Jackson Dart in every, like, generally every year would be a top 10 quarterback.
No. I don't think he will be anyway, but I agree with your point.
You know what I mean, like that's
I think Shador could have a hard time anybody with, other than Cam. I think when you look at, because you get into Shador Sanders, you get into the Shuck kid, I think they're really good players. They're technically really sound. They've played a lot of football. They can make all the throws. You know, you got to really deep dive into what separates those guys. They don't have the same just flat out wicked ability that Cam has. Those other guys could bunch up really quickly. But in this draft, I think there's a chance. I think Shador goes top 10, and I don't know if Dart does or not, but we'll see.
All right, coming up. Do you think offensively the Texans have a speed problem? Do you think they have an issue with speed on the field? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Rock and roll, meow.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, someone texted in Earl Irwin. I'd have gotten you out of that ID ticket, Joe. You have to willingly offer it as a primary ID to get in trouble. No law against possession.
Irwin's good people.
I had my ass.
Damn.
I had my ass in 2003. I'm going to tell you this, Irwin. There was no thought in my mind to roll through to let him know, hey, I got to willingly offer this thing to you. I thought I'd just...
Is that my boy, Ron? Let's just...
How can we get up out of this?
Yeah, here, man, take it all. Shred it, man. Just let me get
the
hell out of
here. What you
want, man? How quick can I get back on the road?
What you get? And that was it. But I'm not saying what you're saying don't make sense. I'm just saying what that man said. Let me see that other ID you got as well. I think I did it. What every man would do in that situation. I said, huh?
What's that, sir?
Huh? That one right there. Thought about it for a second. I said, well, I've got right here.
I do.
All right, I said this on the other side, Clint. Do you, we've seen the Texans do a lot of stuff with the offensive line. Hell, we've seen them do some stuff in the secondary. We've seen them do some stuff at the receiver position. But do you get the sense and feel that this team, especially offensively, lacks speed, lacks enough playmaking ability from a speed perspective?
They absolutely lack speed. They absolutely lack explosiveness. They lack twitch. The skill positions on the offensive side of the football, but for those that don't understand, it's tight ends, wide receivers, running backs, and you can include the quarterback in there. We're talking about anybody that can carry the rock, right? You look across the board, and it's not just a problem; it's a severe lack of speed. There's Dalton Schultz brings twitch, explosion, ability to separate. It ain't there. It's not Nico Collins' strongest suit. I mean, he is obviously an A player. He's obviously your number one wide receiver. He can make plays in all facets. But when you look at how Nico typically makes his hay, it's getting the ball caught when he's open and then being difficult to tackle and running away from folks. It's not creating a ton of separation immediately. You can argue Christian Kirk's got a little bit of it, assuming he's still got that coming off a collarbone injury. I would imagine he's still got a little shiftiness there. But other than that, you just don't have it. And so, look, that's why I think it's absolutely paramount that they find in this draft, whenever they decide to go wide receiver, they absolutely have to find a speed guy. They have to find a guy that can blow the top off the coverage immediately. You got to find a guy that can create some space for Nico Collins. You got to find a guy that can at least make the safeties check up and not just come down and try to smother your inside receivers and try to smother your run game. You got to have somebody that can check the coverage. And right now they just don't have that guy, with the exception of Nico Collins. And teams will do what we saw teams do late last year to take Nico out of it and end up dedicating, you know, a couple of defenders to him, and it's game over.
And even with Nico, Nico is, I would say, obviously the biggest downfield playmaker, but he is also one that it isn't a he's screaming wide open immediately type, or he is able to create his separation immediately, and it takes a little bit more time for him to get up to the speed. Now, he's got speed where he gets – we've seen it multiple times. Buffalo, ironically, the play he got injured on with his hamstring, but the Colts game, we've seen him get behind the defense. And obviously his big plays that he can make once he catches it for screens and stuff, because he's difficult to tackle. But it's not a – the way that Tank at times can just get behind people. And that element to me is a problem. Do you think it's, and I heard you said all that, because some offenses, all right, you know, there's an argument that hell, Brady and the Patriots never had some of that.
Yep.
There's an argument that hell, the Chiefs, when they won the Super Bowl last year, 2 years ago, didn't have really that big element. Do you think, though, it is something that is an element so much so that it's a problem? That it will be a problem.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah. Like you mentioned, like if Pat Mahomes or Tom Brady walks through the door, then we are all right. If Andy Reid walks through the door, then we can talk about it. I think it's a legit problem for the Texans. I think it's something that defenses are going to take advantage of. I do feel comfortable that it can be addressed in the draft. I would like to see it addressed on two fronts in the draft. I would like to see it addressed at the wide receiver position and the backup running back position. There is plenty of scat back type of running backs in this draft.
That's a good spot. The running back and the tight end spots, like, and I know they have Brevin Jordan. I see some people testing in. That's why we really missed Brevin Jordan last year. But the running back spot and the tight end spot, those are places also that you can find that. Like, yep. There's not a toss play, and I love, you know, Joe Mixon and Damian Pierce, but the odds that a toss play or a stretch play is going to result into, bam, he just went for 60 or 50 is probably not high with these guys. And that's another place where it can happen.
Well, you look at the screen game, which was good, too, which was good at times last year when Joe Mixon got involved. But Joe Mixon will go get you 20, right? We're talking about one of those little scat backs that can catch. And if you catch a crease, he's going to be hard to catch. We're talking about a wide receiver that if the safety gets his eyes in the backfield on any kind of play action and stutters his feet at all, this guy's going to run by you. He might not be a route running specialist. He may not be a guy that's going to go in there and run the route tree his rookie year and be the best route runner out there like let's say a Tank Dell does. Like Tank Dell wins and separates with twitch. I think they need a speed guy that can absolutely just blow the top off of it. And a second back that is more of a true weapon that's got that speed dynamic and the twitch dynamic. They've got to find some explosiveness. They've got to find some speed. Their offensive skill is not fast enough. They're not explosive enough. They're not twitchy enough. And now when you get Tank back, then that changes a little bit, assuming that, good gosh, I mean, we're talking about a broken leg, a gunshot wound, and now a horrific knee injury. Yeah.
He changes a lot with his absence.
Yeah, but you know, like Tank Dell is a great route runner that has a lot of twitch and suddenness in his way of running routes that creates a lot of separation. He's not necessarily a guy that's going to line up and you're going to be like, oh, hell, I just can't run with this guy. Oh, his speed scares me. His is more of like a technician in his routes, and I'm going to set you up to create 3 or 4 yards of separation, and then you beat, right? The change of direction. They got to find some of that, and right now the existing group just doesn't have near enough.
Yep. And people are texting in, like, you got any examples of players around the league you're talking about? Someone texted in, Texans had a chance at Xavier Worthy last year, but didn't go there. That would be an example to me. This doesn't have to be a great, great player. Like, a guy that comes to mind to me, and you can see how it helps the offense so much, is like a Jameson Williams. You know, like his
either one of those, either like one of those guys,
speed, just his speed, like the, like Williams and Xavier Worthy, they're not even considered the best receivers on their team,
right?
But they open up so much, like St. Brown and the tight end Sam Laporta, they really get to eat off of the fact that he just runs people, and it's a boy that guy comes off the line for 2-3 steps, you're concerned,
yes.
You know, he goes in motion, and they just from it. And again, like the Lions are a great case of it because they've got Gibbs, who is a threat like that. That anytime he touches it, he can go to the crib. They got, you know, Jameson Williams, as we just mentioned. Like that's kind of something that's missing with the Texans right now. Is just they're just not enough guys that just. That really, really scare you, as you said, suddenly.
Yeah. Yeah. And
I mean, Nico scares you, but not.
Right. Whether it's a straight line track guy or it's the Luther Burden or the Golden or, you know, these kids that Golden are running, these kids four, that are running 4.3s, 4.4s, man. I mean, any of those guys. And whether they're great route runners and technicians or they track guys or they, like I just pulled up one here, and I'm talking more draft now than guys that are currently, but like Jaden Blue, the kid out of Texas. I mean, he went 4.3. At the combine, I mean, that's a running back. That's and I don't know where you get him. I'm looking at the NFL. I think had him in, I don't know, top 15 running backs. Like I don't think he's going to be a first day guy, right? But that is a guy that you plug him in this offense. All of a sudden, this offense had a desperate need that at any point in time you can plug in a guy that's sub 4.4, sub 4.3, sub 4.4.
Like we Good watched, gosh. As Tyler knows, we were talking about it coming out of that one draft, and we watched the Dolphins and. How they were able to utilize A-Chain and how
yes he, that's I was trying to think of him too like from a couple years ago was that last guys, year a couple years ago a
couple years ago yeah and they've been able to use just in certain different ways just getting the ball in his hands and it freaks everybody out to think that there's a chance that he can go to the house. They just really lack that at times. Coming up, we're gonna try to make you look cash. T-Mill's best bet. He had a 5 for 5, 2 5 for 5s last week on a Monday. And a Friday, try to make you some money, nearly 70% last weekend. You know he was betting with the tournament. We'll get you to that as we continue right here on a beautiful Monday, right here live on The Drive.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Text line coming through, Justin Watson. From KC, who's now the latest Texan, has rounds of 4-4. Like, listen, man, they got some guy. The Texans, I'm not talking about guys with sneaky speed.
Watson ain't scared nobody since he entered the league.
Yeah, I mean, there's been time, and I've watched every one of his games. There's some times he's gotten behind people. He's snuck past some people.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not, like, that's not what... For me, I'm talking about like when they added him. I didn't think to myself they have added a speed element that really is gonna kind of be a game changer for him. I don't think that. I think he's gonna be a solid player that's always gonna be in the right spot, and can at times sneak past you if you're thinking about too much other stuff. But I don't think he fits the element of what we're kind of talking about.
No, not for me. No, I mean, look, a good player, good depth player. If we're relying on him to change things offensively for CJ and Nico, well, we got Brady expectations on CJ Stroud.
Yeah. No, I think. I think they will address this in the draft. I think we will see at least.
Got to bring some speed in, man. Got to, Ron. Doesn't look like you're going to make any moves at tight end position. And there's a need at the wide receiver position. I think there's a need at the number two running back position. So
to pick that up.
And I think those can all be addressed in the draft. And I think there's still some free agents out there that could be possibilities that interior offensive line position. So we'll see.
Yeah, you'll be hearing a little bit more of that as soon as we get done. Texans All Access live right after us, 6 to 7 o'clock. Johnny Harris, Mark Vandermeer will hold it down for your roster inventory for the Texans, and they'll take a look around the AFC South. So hell, they may be having a similar conversation that we're having. And then Area 45 is back as. The NCAA tournament was going on. I'm certain Sean Bajani, Patrick Creighton, and old Santiago, they got some takes locked up, boy.
Be cautious with Creighton tonight.
They got some that they've been holding back that they are ready to get going. So make sure you listen to the fellas as they are back 7 to 11 tonight, live and local, right after Texans All Access with Mark and John. So stay tuned for that. We'll make you some money here with Tyler Milner here in a second. And Tyler's got a big day tomorrow now. Tyler is has been chosen, has been the man that they are putting, or as he said, bestowing this challenge, this responsibility.
So gracious.
At the fan council tomorrow. He is one of the media members that's going to be a part of this. He's going to have multiple visits and meetings this year where he is doing that. And many of you have sent in messages on what it is that you, some suggestions.
Keep them coming.
As Clint and I, we suggested you go sit at the front row, get you a little yellow legal pad, write up some things, really have some things, some questions that you need to get down.
I like that.
Many people were texting in things about the beer prices. That's probably...
I'm not sure how much I can get done there, friends.
I don't know. I guess you can bring, Arthur Blank really dropped some things there in Atlanta, and it paid dividends there. I don't know if that's the route you want to go.
I think you should inquire. Figure out how they get to the rate that they land at, because it is high.
All of them walk me through it.
Next line coming through. Yeah, here we go. Beer specials before noon in the stadium. Get the fans in their seats earlier.
Now that's on to something, Tyler. Take that, steal that idea, and give it to him over there. And that's your number one suggestion.
See, this is why
specials at noon,
pregame
nooners. Call them nooners.
Pregame concerts to get them in the seats. It really seems to be.
They've done that before. It didn't help much with getting people in the seats quicker.
I don't think concerts are getting folks up out of it. Now the same thing that they're sitting out there doing for cheap. Yeah, I think you can get them in there.
Yeah.
I think you feed them, drink them at noon, or what? Kickoff's 12:15. You or 12. You
11:30.
You feed them, drink 11:30 to noon. Beers are half price.
Just from 11:30 to noon, beers are half.
That's
price.
That's it. Once you come in the building, you can't get out. So you got them in there now.
I wonder if that'd do them for them, because they're probably drinking beers already that's half priced off the half price. I'm not sure, but
it'll work once or twice. Yeah, I don't know if it's gonna work all year long. But
some people will get. You're right. Some people will get them.
Then again, then people that have been in there since 11 paying full price may take advantage of it.
Yeah, they might. Yeah, I mean, you're going to get people there. All right. And, it's only 30 minutes. That's ain't too long. Yeah, people are really,
that's your first, Tyler, that's your first proposal right there.
It is interesting.
Beer special.
I'm on it.
The amount of things that people are trying to get on this that leads to getting people in the stadium on time is a lot of the suggestions that are coming in.
Problem in itself.
Which is interesting as hell. That Like, it's not been about the jerseys or except for Clint. Clint has a piping issue with the jersey.
Clear that up. Just to be clear.
Piping around the numbers.
I don't have a piping issue. We're talking about...
Go to the men's clinic, man.
Well, we're talking about... If I had one, I would.
The uniform.
The numbers. You can't, you know, those darker numbers. You can, those darker unis, you can't see the damn numbers. Put some neon piping around it so we can see the numbers.
Gotta make sure you're piping's, Brett.
Yeah, John McClain and Old Berman. I don't know how their piping is, but I'm just telling you.
Piping around the uniform could really help.
Would really help them.
I feel like McClain's piping is just fine.
Do they do? How about that? Do they do?
Interesting.
That's another one to get in. Do they? We see it in baseball a lot. Like, again, trying to get people in. Do they do giveaways? Like, you know, like there's games all throughout the year where you can get you a T-shirt or you can get you like a...
Yeah, I don't know.
Like,
you're talking about like the first however many fans in or whatever?
Yeah, like if you, hey, the first...
I'm honestly not sure about that with Texans games.
Get you a Tyler Milner bobblehead.
First 15 gets in. Yeah, get you a...
That'd be awesome.
Get you a Derek Stingley Jr. jersey. They're all going
to
be XL.
Get you one of these here.
Get you something to...
Oh, Tyler Milner bobblehead right there.
Yeah, Tyler Milner bobblehead right there.
first 500 fans get T-Mill bobblehead.
Maybe they go a different person for that bobblehead.
Wow, dude. All right. Screw
just
it.
Saying. Maybe a
bad
Nick,
idea.
Maybe a Nick Cayley bobblehead.
He's got the prototype right there, man. It's already halfway done.
And maybe they could just use that and say it's Nick Cayley. There you go.
What, just because we're both couple pasty white fellas?
The sunglasses, I think you could sneak a lot of people back.
It's fair.
Sunglasses, get you a beard on there. It could be a Matt Burke bobblehead right there. That does look like Matt Burke a little bit right there. All right.
I want to say for the record, though, this prototype bobblehead, it was made during my heavier days.
Yeah.
I've lost some pounds.
I know,
We'll adjust the bobbleheads we give away for that.
All right. That'll be tomorrow, man. Wednesday, I cannot wait to hear how this thing went. I need a play-by-play on what color were the panties. That's what I can't. I can't wait to hear that. All right, Tyler, let's make some money for the people as T-Mill gives his best bets. Again, Friday, 5 for 5, had a 68% week. That's big money if you followed T-Mill throughout the week. So what's...
Weeks like that give me a little southern blood flow.
All right. There you
what's
go.
What's the...
I do.
What is that? We believe you. What's... What you got for the people to make money tonight?
Yeah, let's do it again this week. We'll have some March Madness back at it later on in the week. But for tonight, for Monday, got 5 NBA wagers for you. Here they are. As always, if you miss one, want to go back, look me up at Twitter, at TMILRealDeal. I post my bets every day as well. So here are your 5. First, I got the Pacers money line. I got it at -130. They're taking on the T-Wolves tonight. Then I got 2 overs for you. Celtics at Kings over 222.5 tonight. And Bucks at Suns over 223. And then 2 player props, as we always like to have at least one or two in there. Banchero, the Magic, they're taking on the Lakers. I got Banchero over 7.5 rebounds tonight. And then I got, this is one I've won a lot of money on this year, folks, Drew Holiday with the Celtics over on rebounds. It's set at 4.5 again, over 4.5. It's probably my lock of the day.
Yeah.
What do y'all like?
I like the Holiday rebounds always. He seems to run into that. I like the Celtics-Kings over. I do. I like that. And,
okay.
I mean,
okay.
Yeah, Boston's going to shoot 58 threes tonight, so you just you imagine probably some of them go.
So long rebound.
Go in. That's going to run that score up. So, yeah, I like that Celtics-Kings and the Drew Holiday 4.5. I want to get with you on Banchero because I think he's going to have a big night going up against the Lakers, players like that.
Yeah. Clint, I heard you mention him earlier during your underdog.
Under points.
Oh, okay.
You like went it. Under on them points. What's it got to say?
I think it's 26.5, I think. I think it's what it was.
A little loud, yeah. It's a little loud. All right. There you go. Make you some cash with
strong.
Mr. Tyler Milner had a big week last week. Clint, great job as always. Tyler, great job as always. Texans all access after us. And then the fellas. Area 45 returns right after those guys get finished on Texans All Access. I am Ron. The show, as always, Houston. We love you, baby. When someone else instead of me always seems to know the- away. Thriller in Manila.
I wasn't born yet, Gus, but I hear you.
It's him standing next to that grill, smiling his ass off.
With him with a shirt tucked in and an apron.
Smiling his ass off.
Yeah,
that's it. I mean, that's just, I mean, I'm assuming.
70, by the way, 76-5 boxing career record, and he's known for some grills. Yeah, George Foreman made Houston proud from the text line. He did. And them grills, man, they were huge.
Lean, mean, fat-reducing grilling machine from George Foreman.
Great tasting, healthier food in minutes.
Hey there, Megan. Josh Reddick here. From what I hear, your favorite player, so I want to say thank you for that.